This is a first principle Bible session, and on this occasion we will deal with the Bible and what the Bible is. Well, the Bible is a book which was completed about 2,000 years ago, and it includes writings from 40 different men. Men from different time periods, different cultures, different backgrounds, different areas of the world, and indeed different societies. Some of the writers were extremely rich and powerful, such as King Solomon. Some were poor, as Peter. Some were educated, such as Luke the physician. And some were not so, like John the fisherman. But however unlikely it may seem, the 66 books contained then in the Bible over the Old Testament and the New Testament are completely consistent in every way, despite the fact that they were written over such a long period of time. Even though there is no way these men could ever have corroborated their writings, the message is consistent throughout. It is the same design, the same truths, the same message, the same revelation. And so we might be wondering, how could this be? Well, the scriptures themselves give us the answer in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, which tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we'll have a look at the definition of the word inspiration in a moment. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God. In other words, all of the men were guided in their writings. They were moved. They were borne along by the Holy Spirit of God, by the power of God. In fact, there can be no other reasonable explanation. But the scriptures are quite clear that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of the words penned in the Bible are from the Word of God. They are the mind of God. There was one supreme guiding mind, if you like, behind the entire construction, behind the entire writing of the 66 books. Let us turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. And we'll read from verses 19 to 21. That's 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, that is, by the pen of man, if you like, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So as men of the apostles' era, godly men, pen these words, they were penning them as a direct result of being moved by the Holy Spirit. This is a very, very important point in this lesson. Let us have a look at the next chapter that we would like to have a look at is Acts 17 and verse 11. That's Acts 17 and verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed. So many of them believed as a result of searching the scriptures themselves and putting the scriptures, if you like, to the proof, the words of scripture to the proof. Romans 16 verse 26 says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations, for the obedience of faith. And so this gives us the basis as to why we are even taking the time in doing this lesson this evening. It is essentially to show that the scriptures and the scriptures alone are able to make us wise unto salvation, and it was made manifest so that the nations could turn to God and obey him in faith. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Let us turn quickly to 2 Timothy, where these words are found. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, where we read, well, verse 15 for connection, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So, as we said right from the beginning, it is absolutely essential that we hold this view, which is quite clearly the Bible view, God's view, that every word in the Bible is the word of God. It is quite clear then from these passages that they are also profitable. Let us go to Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20 just briefly. That's Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, where we read, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So, again, I believe that this is quite clear in its teaching. The Old and New Testaments are consistent in what they are telling us. Just before we go on then to discuss some of the definitions of infallibility, etc., let us just go quickly, if we may, to Psalm 119. That's Psalm 119. In fact, we might turn up a few quotations, actually, before we go on to the definition. Psalm 119, verses 1 to 16, to begin with. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. So happy, then, are they that walk in the law of Yahweh. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways are directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Then the psalmist says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And this is a very important verse, in fact, because it shows that a young man cannot cleanse his way through any other means or any other source than by taking heed according to God's word. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. What a wonderful testimony then from the psalmist, where he declares that he will hide in his heart the whole counsel, the whole word of God. Romans 15 verse 4 is another interesting passage of scripture to look at, all giving us the same consistent message reinforces exactly what we've been saying. So that's Romans 15 verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." And this again is one of the reasons why we are doing these lessons, why we are going through first principles in this framework, is essentially to show that we can, through patience and comfort of the Bible, of the scriptures, that we can have hope. We're in Romans, so let's go back a few pages to Acts 24 and verse 14, which says, that's Acts 24, verse 14, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." Okay, so we did say that we would just digress, if you like, slightly to consider some of the terms that we might use in this lesson that we possibly aren't familiar with. So we've mentioned the inspiration of God. What is inspiration? Well, as Peter tells us, the scriptures would have no private interpretation. That is, they weren't of man's interpretation. Inspiration is to be moved to write something under influence. And the scriptures tell us that the influence which inspired men of old to write or to pen the revelation of God is down to the power of the Holy Spirit. It's down to the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a very, very important point. The whole canon of scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, although the words were penned by holy men of old, it is important to realize that it was the direct result of the Holy Spirit working with them to capture in the canon of scripture exactly what the deity wanted to record as the basis of light unto men. So the next one that we would like to consider is the Holy Spirit. We've mentioned inspiration, we've just given a definition of that. What about the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit? Well, in these scriptures we find the Holy Spirit being used for specific purposes. It is, of course, the power of God. The free spirit of God is that which upholds us in life and keeps the universe ticking over, as it were. But the Holy Spirit is God's power gathered up and used for very specific purposes, such as writing the scriptures, such as miracles, such as raising the dead, etc. Jesus, we know, it is recorded, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he had it without measure, which enabled him to walk on the sea. It enabled him to multiply food in the feeding of the 5,000, and it was the power through which he raised Lazarus, and so on. The Holy Spirit, as we just said, is the power of God, emanating from God, which is gathered up and used for special purposes and special applications. In the case under consideration, that is the writing of the Bible, men of old were able to write the Word of God under its direct influence, so that the things written were direct revelations from God and couldn't once be described as one's own private interpretation. And again, I'm sorry if we're pressing home this point, but it is absolutely fundamental. If we were then to ask why the four Gospels were, so the same events, the Gospel record, the events of Christ and that which led up to his crucifixion, we might ask why it needed the Spirit of God, if it was to record from four people's perspectives, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, why did it require the Holy Spirit to bring those records to bear? Well, there were probably many things that those individuals remembered about the life of Christ, and certainly in relation to the work that he performed, but it's absolutely imperative that we understand that it was the Spirit's will to have the very things that they recorded, recorded. So the things that were not necessary, the things that you and I might have wanted to be included, the Spirit knew ultimately what was needed. So God in his divine wisdom knew precisely what was needed to have recorded in the Word that would enable us to be instructed in all righteousness and to give us the knowledge that God requires us to have. So again, sorry to press that point, but it is a very important one. So inspiration, we've talked about that. We've talked about Holy Spirit. What about infallible or infallibility? Well, Webster gives the meaning as that which is exempt from error. In other words, something which cannot be wrong. So the claim of Scripture, it is the Word of God. Sorry, the claim of Scripture, the Word of God, is that it was penned under the influence of, or by the power of, the Holy Spirit. And due to it not being one's own private interpretation, it is also infallible. That is, the words contained in its original pages are incapable of being wrong, free from error and free from mistakes. So the next point is infallible, the infallibility. We've talked about inspiration, we've talked about Holy Spirit. Let's talk about the infallibility question. Well, Webster gives the meaning of infallible as that which is exempt from error. In other words, it cannot be wrong. And we believe that the Bible is the wholly inspired and infallible Word of God. Because it was written through the power of the Spirit, it is infallible. It cannot be wrong. The claim of Scripture, then, that the Word of God is that it was penned under the influence of or by the power of the Holy Spirit, and due to it not being of one's own private interpretation, it is also infallible. That is, the words contained in its original pages are incapable of being wrong, free from error, and free from mistakes. And if we pause there just for 1 second and think to ourselves, what a privileged people we are. We do not see the visible hand of God working in people's lives any longer. That is, we don't see the opening up of the Red Sea for people to mass exodus, etc., etc. We don't see God's visible hand in operation any longer. The Holy Spirit no longer works. But we have the revelation of God in the Bible before us, that we are able throughout our lives to turn up its pages and to therefore be enlightened as to the way in which we can walk acceptably before God. What a privileged people we are, a race of people who are not only able to afford to purchase a copy of God's revelation, but are also a people privileged enough to be able to read it freely without fear of persecution or trouble from those around us. So, well, we've dealt then a little bit with what is the Bible and why we have it in our possession. It tells us the truth of God. It reveals unto us its plan and purpose with the earth. What about the effects that the Bible has upon the reader, the Bible student? Let's go just briefly to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. The words of the wise man. Proverbs 3 verse 13 we read, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." And this is genuinely the case. For those who don't believe the Bible, for those who wish not to believe in God, they probably cannot comprehend why the Bible says happy, or why anyone would say happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. But genuinely, the words of Scripture and the hope that it affords genuinely brings happiness to mankind when they thoroughly embrace it and follow the commandments which are prescribed in God's word. It says, "For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." Well, let us go just quickly then to Acts 24, verses 14 and 15, on this same point about the effects upon an individual's life that the Bible has. Acts 24 and verse 14 and 15, verses 14 and 15. It says, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." So I guess the bottom line in all of this is that we have to endeavour to familiarise ourselves with those things that are so written in the law and the prophets. And when our wisdom is based upon what is written and we have an understanding of those things, it is indeed declared, happy are we. And let us not forget the words of the Apostle Paul when in Romans chapter 15 verse 4 he says, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." And this is absolutely imperative. At the end of the day, there is no other source of light. There is no other source of salvation extant upon earth today other than what God has chosen to reveal in his word. It was written aforetime, it was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So we'd like now just to spend actually a few moments looking at the questions in relation to our topic in the Christadelphian Instructor. And if you don't have a copy of the Christadelphian Instructor, a hard copy, you can certainly download a PDF version from the internet. If you do a Google search for the Christadelphian Instructor, Robert Roberts PDF, then you'll see quite a few that you can download. And the questions are 6 through 12. And question 6 says, "Where can we learn the will of God and the truth concerning Christ?" And the answer that is provided is in the Holy Scriptures, which are known in our day as the Bible. And for proof, we've got written down there 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15, which you can look at in your own time. Again, we've looked at it once already. Romans 15 verse 4, and we've looked at that once already. Let us turn to Psalm 119. We've looked at Psalm 119, but not verse 130. So let us turn there just for a moment. Psalm 119, verse 130. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Also, if you could have a look at Romans 16, verse 26 in your own time. And also, we'll have a quick look now at Psalm 119, verse 105. Considering we are in Psalm 119 already. Verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." So then the answer then to that question, where can we learn the will of God? Well, in the Bible. What is the Bible? Question 7. It is a book written by the power of inspiration working in prophets and apostles who lived in Israel a long time ago. They lived at different times, and each wrote his part independently of the others, but one spirit moved them all and enabled them to make known to men the mind of God in history, precept, and prophecy, so that the Bible, though composed of many books and parts, is the one word of God. And again, 2 Timothy 3:16, which we've looked at, is given there. Hebrews 1 verse 1, I believe. Also, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 13. Also, which we've already looked at, 2 Peter 1 verse 21. Thy word is truth, in John 17 verse 17. And thou testifiest against them by the Spirit in the prophets, Nehemiah 9:30. And the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. So, well worth looking at those passages in your own time, and even marking them. Underlining the appropriate words is a useful exercise. So, question 8. What are the names of the men principally employed by the Spirit of God in the writings of the Bible in the Old and New Testaments? The answer is Moses, Joshua, Samuel, David, Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, James, Jude, and Peter. And I'll provide a link to this lesson where we go into a bit more detail as to what each book, or why each book was written, what is involved. So question 9, into what parts is the Bible divided? Well, the answer, as we have already referred to, is that it was divided into two parts, the Old and New Testaments. In the days of Christ, the scriptures were known as Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. The Old Testament was written by Moses and the prophets who came after him. The New Testament was written by the apostles. Question 10, over what period of time does the composition of the Bible extend? Well, the answer is the Old Testament was begun by Moses about 1600 years before Christ and finished by Malachi a little over 1200 years afterwards. That's BC 400. The New Testament was written during the lifetime of the apostles after the resurrection and ascension of Christ, which now, of course, is over 1900 years ago. So the last two questions, question 11 and 12. Question 11, of how many books is the Bible composed and what are their names in order? Well, have a look at that question in the Bible Instructor. The answer is that the Bible is composed of 66 books arranged in the following order of names. The Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And then in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 of Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of the Epistle of John, Jude, and Revelation. And again, that link that we said that we will provide will give a sort of potted, a very brief overview of what each book contains. So the last question is, what does the Bible in its several books reveal to us? Well, the answer is that the Bible is given by inspiration of God, reveals to us the truth concerning God and concerning man. So, this lesson covers off not only the questions 6 to 12 in the Christadelphian Instructor that we just quoted from, but also covers baptism questions 3, 4, 5, 6 and 7 in the Christadelphian baptismal interviews by Brother Grocott. So I'll just introduce question 1 and 2 just for context. Do you believe that the Christadelphians hold the true teachings of the Bible? Well, the answer, of course, that we would be looking at there is yes, based on what we've just been through. Question 2, do you know of any other religious body than the Christadelphians who teach the true gospel? The answer to that is no. The vast majority of religions don't even use the Bible as the basis of their beliefs, which is appalling, really. But anyone that has joined the Christadelphians out of a Church of England church, or any of the Welsh, even the Baptist chapels and things, many of those don't. Some of them do, to be fair, the evangelical ones, like the Pentecostals. Some of them will go through the Bible, but the vast majority are taught that the Bible is too difficult for an ordinary person to understand. So question 3 of the baptismal interviews is, what is the basis of all your beliefs in this matter? Well, the beliefs, that is, in the matter of the gospel, well, there is only one book extant on the earth that gives us any information at all about the true gospel, and that is the scriptures. So the answer there would be the scriptures that we would be looking for. What is the Bible? Well, it is the word of God. Question 5, does the Bible give sufficient guidance to obtain eternal life? Yes, of course it does. As we made mention of in the lesson, the divine wisdom of God, there's a lot more that could have been recorded, but the wisdom of God recorded it in 66 books in sufficient amount of information to provide eternal life. Question 6, can we get such guidance from any other source? Of course we can't. And 7, do you believe that the entire Bible is the infallible and inspired word of God in all its parts? Well, the answer to that we would be looking for is yes. And that question, 6, can we get such guidance from any other source? I was specifically asked by someone fairly recently, what about, you know, some of the books in the world where people, you know, have some very positive things, they're not, you know, evil things, you know, some of them are even based upon the principles of the Word of God. What, you know, the question was, why wouldn't we consider those as being of any worth? And of course, you know, the answer to that is that if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Light comes from the word of God. So Jeremiah, just to finish up, Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. And that's a wonderful verse to finish off with. This thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, I will be your God, ye shall be my people, walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. And we know the history of Israel was such that they didn't follow in the path of the living God, and we know what the consequences were. So that really brings an end to this first lesson. We wanted it to be about 25 to 30 minutes, which I think it will be. Just some additional reading that is worth considering going through in relation to the Bible. That is the first lecture in Christendom Astray by Brother Roberts, The Bible, What It Is and How to Interpret It, very important to read. Also, born a second time, which is finger post number 26. We'll provide a link to the particular finger post that I just referred to on the website where we post this. The third one is a book that is well worth, actually a booklet that's well worth a read, The Truth About God and the Bible, and that is by Brother Robert Roberts. Again, we'll provide the link to that. And sorry, the book that I was going to refer to was The Bible Today and You, and again, we'll provide a link to that. So that's wonderful. Thanks very much for your time, for taking the time and interest in what we've had to say this evening. If you do have any questions, then please email me. Don't hesitate to do that. And the email address is info@BereanChristadelphians.co.uk.